famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, on a Monday night following a long drive from the Bay Area today and last night at the Eureka Theater. And I'm very grateful to everybody that was there, and we had a great time. And it was, as I was saying before the broadcast here tonight, I was talking to our good friend Nikki McKee, and I was saying, well, it was like being in the nice, warm, welcoming womb of your friends and fans. And
yeah, they were very, very sweet people. And even though Bobby Dooley had come out, and I had begged her, I'd pleaded with her, don't slap, you know.
Yeah.
Don't slap your husband.
Yeah, she bellowed him.
Well, I've got to talk to her about that. She did. Bobby slapped Steve very, very shortly after the show began because he was sexy, so she slaps him for that.
Yeah, it's real weird. I don't want to get into it, but if her husband is attracting her or turning her on, she slaps his face because she thinks he's such a brute. And then I guess after the show's over, they go back to the hotel room, and my understanding is it is loud and vulgar.
Well, we don't have to talk about that. So it was just to get on with the show here. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We thank you very much for being there.
Can I say something? I didn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, to jump in and start talking about the vulgarity and the loud animal grunts. I'm not talking,
Don't talk about the sex they have, all right?
I'm just saying that after she slaps his filthy face, they go back.
We already know, Margaret, that they go back and they grunt and sweat on each other.
Well, I didn't say that.
That's what you're trying to say. So it was fun. Thank you very much. God bless. And we are hopeful and not just hopeful. We will continue to do our live shows, continue to expand those live shows, continue to refine those live shows, and continue to make you guys our fan base, as well as our backstage pass members, to make you the foundation of that. And that means basically we do them for you first. And, well, everybody else is just going to have to get in line, man. So it was a lot of fun. And also, everybody at Sketchfest was so cool. Thank you. We drove up on Saturday. And the reason why I drove is because I like to think. When I have time off, I don't want to just be, okay, you're off, and now let's go and do something else, you know. I want to get a little bit of some space between the ears, which, of course, I've got. That was probably a bad way of putting it, right?
Can't talk about space between your ears. That means you ain't got nothing in there.
Yes, it was very unfortunate.
Well, okay, well, what I'm saying is I like to have some space, not between my ears. I like to have a little bit of a repast, you know, a moment where I can...
Ain't that food?
Is what?
Ain't a repast food?
Well, it is sort of a lunch, isn't it? General, you know.
Yeah, well, why would I know, other than the lunches that my wife put on when I was an officer? We would have some of the officers' wives, but I...
All right, let's just say that a repast is what I intended it to be. So, whatever that is, I don't know.
But I think a repast can be at this... Yes.
All right, a break. So I'm, that's what I like. And I don't want to necessarily jump on a plane. And why are you on a plane? Because I got to get up there. Well, we're not going to do the gig until Sunday night. And, I'd like to take some time. So we got in the car and we drove and stopped at a Tascadero, naturally. And if you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, on the homepage, I believe there's three little clips of a travel, sort of a semi-travel log. One is a video of the signs at a Tascadero.
Now, a Tascadero, that's another gentleman, by the way, who made the show the other night, was Herb Sewell.
Yes, Herb Sewell was there. We're going to have, why don't we have Herb on now? I was going to move him. Jay Santos is going to be with us in just a few minutes also to be talking about something that he's getting involved with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. That is the stealing of copper in a Southern California town. I think it's Santee. And the political ramifications of that. But anyway, the Citizens Auxiliary Police are going to be hovering about all the copper down there so it doesn't get stolen, and so that their mayor down there doesn't have to get all worked up and hissy and take phones away from people.
Homeless people.
Homeless people. All right. So Herb, as you know, was at the...
Herb's up at a nut bin, and that was the name of it.
Don't call it a nut bin. He was up at a Tascadero, okay? So when every time I drive north, I always get off
Well, that...
I always get off the freeway, Margaret.
Thank you for clarifying that. That's all.
You wouldn't say I don't always get off.
Yeah, I know. I forget who I'm working with. You guys, your minds, boy, I tell you. You get up in the morning, you drop them into a bucket or you drop them into a toilet that's unflushed, pull them out and stick them back in your skull. That's what you guys do.
Well, I find that to be a bit harsh. It's not what I do.
I'm offended by that, Phil.
Be offended by it. Anyway, I always get off the freeway and go over to the entrance to Atascadero and drive in. And it's just our way of paying homage to Herb and all that that are. Now, I did take a couple of little video shots of it, and the camera, for whatever reason, man, I didn't video the actual place. And I drove in because I just wanted to see where Herb at one time had spent 8 years of his life. It looks like a high school campus with barbed wire all over the place. And then there's also people that go in to see the patients there. And
what do you mean patients?
Because it's a hospital, bud.
We got barbed wire.
Because it's a hospital for the criminally insane.
Well, that term is not really, they don't use that anymore. They call it a forensic hospital. But I don't think they say a hospital for the criminally insane any longer. It's like it's a sort of an antiquated term. It's like saying lunatic or a madman or something like that. We just don't use these terms. But nonetheless, I saw people going in to visit their relatives, I guess. And there's a big sign out in front of Atascadero that says you may not bring in, and it sort of goes without saying, but I guess they have to put it right there on the sign, no explosives.
Well, who is going to bring explosives into a place that houses nuts?
Would you mind, Margaret?
I'm sorry, that has the forensically...
Yeah, it has a forensic nut.
Don't you say nut. Anyway, who's going to bring explosives in? Good question, but I'm glad they have the sign that it's no explosives, no guns, you know. Please, you're not allowed to bring a gun into a prison, but especially not this one. And so on the homepage, you'll see that and a couple of other things. I think we went up to Pier 39 and said hello to the sea lions, then went off and did the show. There's also a clip, about a three-minute clip of the show. I came out with a camera, and I was going to do what... So many artists do. You know, you do a video of the crowd, and then you, like, go, see, this is what you look like. I forgot to turn the camera off, though. So I walked out. I didn't even have it pointed in the right direction. I had it pointed at my shirt. So what you'll see is me talking and saying, I'm about to go on stage. Then you see the camera sort of, you know, wiggling. Then you see my shirt. And then you see the ceiling of the club because I put it down on a stool.
Yes, I saw this clip, and I was wondering why you were videoing the lights.
Yeah, it was on a ceiling.
Yep, because he put on the stool.
Well, why did you do that? You did that by mistake, correct?
Yes, I did it by mistake, and I at that point I said, you know, I got to get on with the show. I'm not going to sit here and fool around with a camera. So I just put it down. I didn't turn it off, and so about 3 minutes of the ceiling of the Eureka Theater. Plus, you'll hear me, and you'll hear 3 minutes of the act, and you'll hear the audience, but you won't see me or the audience. You'll be looking at the ceiling. So that's how that goes. All right, Herb Sewell will be with us here in a moment. Then we have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us in a few as well to talk about protecting the copper down there in Santee, California. You know, I used to work in construction way, way, way back, and I'll give you some insight into copper and why it goes missing so much. And it does go missing so much. There's just a lot of people that are into that copper thing. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and TuneIn. So if you are checking us out on the radio, that's a good thing. If you're at our website, you can listen to the show streaming live on our website. And if you're at TuneIn, go check out our Phil Henry channel at TuneIn and check us out on TuneIn Live, 7 to 10 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Phil Henry Show every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the Easterly thing. And Herb Sewell joining us here from I don't know where you are, Herb, and I'm not supposed to know. I know you're in your car and you're driving and dropping off things. Where were you? Can you tell us that?
Well, I can tell you that I was at a Starbucks. I was finishing up the couple of reports I was doing, and right now I'm in transit, Phil, if that helps you at all. But, you know, I'm not allowed to tell anyone where I am because of the prescriptions of the parole that I'm on. But yes, I'm in transit right now.
And you drop these. You're doing a lot of research, online research, compiling these reports. Why don't you just email them?
Well, sometimes we have meetings, and I give some background to the different people that I'm working with, the college professors, and so forth. As soon as the restrictions of the parole period and probationary period are lifted, then I can speak more freely about where I am and what I do. However, be assured the authorities are very, very familiar where I am and what I'm doing, and make me aware of that at all times.
Well, I mean, it's you know, you're out and free. At least you're not up there. You were at Atascadero, and we want to talk about that.
Yeah, I know that you go by the place as if it's some sort of a zoo.
Well, it's not, no, because I'm not trying to see the inmates.
Well, would you not try to see the inmates? If they made the inmates available to see, would you want to see them?
No, I would not. No, I wouldn't.
I would. That'd be bitching.
I'm not asking you, Dickman. I know what your answer is.
Well, I think it would be interesting. I think you're going to have to expect that sort of response.
Well, I don't know if I have to expect. Look, if I were still in a task there, and they said, well, you know, we're going to open the place so that people can come by and they can see the nuts. They can look through the bars of the cages at the aminals, as Bud Dickman and others of his mentality, you know, might say.
You're not talking like that.
Well, I'm talking about him like that, and I don't mean any disrespect, Bud, but that's how you talk.
Like what?
I said aminals.
He's talking like you don't know how to pronounce the word animal.
Well,
do you?
Aminal?
And there. I rest my case.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. How do you pronounce animal?
Aminals. Yeah, see, that's not fair, Mr. Sewell.
What do you mean it's not fair? I pinned him. I identified an area of weakness, and I exposed it. How's that my fault?
What did I do wrong?
Animal, not aminal. Animal.
What word are you talking about?
Talk about aminal. You said I did it wrong.
Yes, you did it. You do it wrong, Bud. It's aminal. It's not aminal. It's
animal.
Animal, yes.
See what I'm saying? And it's infectious. You can hear Margaret there, you know, butchering it alive, as you would say, Phil.
All right. The word is animal, Bud. And the way you can remember is if you remember that there's an N before the M.
N before the M.
That's correct.
No, he didn't. N before the N.
Animal.
N before the M. Nancy before Mary.
I heard that. I heard that. That's great.
You know something? I don't want to do this. In any event, as you would say, Phil, the hospital...
But hold on for a minute. But don't screw around like that, okay? Do you know what I'm talking about? N before M, Nancy before Mary, animal, okay?
Animal. No, man. Animal, not animal.
Well, you don't even say it too good either. It's aminal.
Margaret, why don't you just go ahead and stick a gasoline-soaked sock.
Stick a gasoline-soaked sock where?
I think you know.
Oh, man, talk about having the burning runs, you know?
I ought to belt you, but I'm told I'm not allowed to hit him. Is that right? Is that what the new...
Yeah, you can't touch him.
What'd I do?
Animal. Not aminal. Animal.
Said N before N.
He said N before M. N as in the word Nancy, M as in the word Mary. Not Nancy before Mary in your sick and perverted and disgusting mind, the way my mind used to be before I had electroshock. I'm talking about Nancy before Mary as in N before M. Do you finally understand it?
Yeah.
How do you say the word?
N-N-N-O. I gotta practice it.
And this is a guy you hired to be on your staff. I love it. It's bizarre. It's weird. But, hey, who am I to criticize?
All right. So, yes, we were there at Atascadero. And I did see all of the barbed wire and all the trappings of high security. We looked at the far wing. I suppose when you asked me, is there a patient that I would like to see, maybe it would be Walter Bellhaven. You brought him up last night at the show. and people were absolutely fascinated.
Well, I think I knew. And by the way, congratulations. I thought it was a very good show, and I was very, very pleased, and I was very happy to be a part of this show. I think people understood and appreciated my stories. I did explain Walter Bellhaven. I told him about Bunny. I did all the things you wanted me to do. Did I leave anything out?
Well, that's what I was wanted to ask you about. What, if anything, from the interior of that hospital would you like to talk about?
Well, I wouldn't want to talk about anything having to do with anyone there that I know. I don't know what's up. I don't know what the right now what people are planning.
What do you mean, like an escape or something?
No, you don't have to escape in the traditional way from a place like Atascadero. You don't have to crawl over a wall. You don't have to crawl under the barbed wire. Generally, what happens is you have some form of work release where you're out and you're flipping burgers at a local I don't know. But you can walk off if you have the guts, if you are that dumb. You can walk off of your work release job and just go out into society. They'll catch you because most of these mental midgets that I was incarcerated with would not last more than 24 hours. No, that's how the escapes from a high-security forensic hospital like Atascadero happen. They do not happen by someone tunneling under the fence or scaling the barbed wire.
Well, it was a pleasant evening. It was good to see you, Herb, and I thank you very much for joining us. And I did go by, and we did take some video, but, nothing spectacular.
Well, you're not going to get anything spectacular. You're not going to get anything spectacular. You will get there. You got the sign.
I got the sign, says no explosives.
Right, and you think that that's funny, but I'm telling you, you have to tell a lot of these morons. And with the greatest of respect, I'm so sorry, but a lot of these idiots that come in to see the nuts that are in there, they're nuttier than the nut. The nut that comes to see the nut, now you've got a bowl of nuts. And
a nutcracker.
Yes, isn't that cute? Nutcracker.
Well, you know, Herb, I'm...
Okay, thank you very much, Margaret. Herb, thank you, and thank you again for being a part of the show.
Yes, and again, I would hasten to add that the show last night, talking about Walter and talking about all these people, I think it should be expanded. I think people love that kind of true crime stuff. And maybe even have Walter come out and do one of his botany lectures.
No, I'm not having a guy release. Not that guy. He said he's never going to be out.
Well, what about a work release? I mean,
yeah. Thank you very much, Herb Sewell. A work release.
That's what he was just talking about, people walking off of.
Right. So we won't do that anytime soon.
Well, you get a guy like... Now, who is this guy, Walter Bellhaven?
He's a maniac. He's a guy that's in there for serial murder. They haven't even begun to... They can't even count the bodies. They don't know how many he's killed. That's how prolific, as they say, about serial killers. Why do they call serial killers prolific?
What's it mean?
Well, it means they're... prolific means you create a lot. You do a lot. You know, you're very creative. You're prolific. You're a prolific songwriter. You create a lot of songs. You're a prolific carpenter, or you're a prolific craftsman. You create a lot of things. A prolific serial killer is a guy that kills a lot of people, and I just wonder whether that's the appropriate use, you know.
Well, technically it is appropriate, but it is ghoulish, because then you'd say, for instance, if the individual was one who left torsos, well, there's a prolific, he creates a prolific amount of heads, you know, without bodies. That, you're right, is very ghoulish and very, very... unseemly, and I would not, and so Herb was what? He was prolific with the heads?
Herb just killed a lot of people, and not Herb, Walter Bellhaven.
What did Herb do?
He was a
child abuser.
Oh my God. You had that animal on.
I did, and I have, and you've been well aware of that. Yeah, he was, and he underwent his electroshock and everything else. All right, so, and as I mentioned last night at the show, we wouldn't even have had him on the show were it not for the fact that he has proven to be a very popular and informative guest. Okay, Phil Hendry's show. Coming up next is Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm just getting, you know, seated here, man. The shirt that I was wearing Saturday night is the same shirt I'm wearing right now, you know.
No, but Sam's still going to be soaked in sweat.
Yes, it is. It's the same shirt that's soaked in the sweat that it was soaked in on Saturday night.
And you don't believe in changing shirts?
I do believe in changing shirts. I just haven't. I threw this one on this morning, got into the car. We took off. We started driving. We found an In-N-Out Burger, so naturally had to stop there. And I just pulled into Nazareth, man.
Well, you were feeling about a half past dead.
Yes, feeling half past dead. And so there you go. All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And where are we, Nikki? I'm completely spaced on this.
30 seconds.
30 seconds, very good. I'm sorry, folks, but we've got a whole new system of linking up with our good, close, personal friends in D.C., and, you know, I don't get it, man. All right, so we're going to be back with Jay Sanders at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Remind you to visit us at philhendryshow.com. When we get the date, the air date, I should say, for Drunk History, which a lot of people are asking
seconds.
About, we will let you know. And
five,
the air date for Marin, we'll
four,
let you know. Be right back.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we're fighting the good fight here. I like people who say they're fighting the good fight. We're really fighting the good fight here.
Well, what is the good fight that you're fighting?
We're fighting the good fight for good, creative, inventive radio. We're fighting the good fight to keep some semblance of a creative effort alive in radio. This morning, I was just looking at some guy. I'm sure he's a great guy. Seriously, he's probably a very nice man. His radio show is another one of these conservative shows, right? And we don't have enough of those. And what's happened is because radio's turned itself over to all of these conservative meatheads, you've got the same kind of people listening to it. And the next thing you know, you've got this dog pound of amateurs and hacks like this guy. I'm not going to mention his name because that's just not me, you know, but I think you know who he is.
Lars Larson.
Well, you just mentioned him. No, I didn't. I whispered it.
That's exactly. You tell me not to whisper, but
I'm kidding around. So anyway, I'm watching this guy, and he's babbling on about some horse dung that no one gives two hoots about, and unless you are, you know, sucking his kneecaps and you think he's fantastic. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is you want news, you want perspective, you want to know what's really going on. Join me every morning as I watch the Fox Morning News and listen to those people. Like, with all due respect to, what's her name? What's the lady that's on in the morning?
That'd be Gretchen Carlson.
Not Gretchen Carlson, it's
Allison Cameron. Are you going to start in again about Madonna? Madonna is a beautiful woman.
I know Madonna's a fine-looking woman. But she, this Allison, what's-her-face, was knocking her looks. And look, that would be like me knocking Brad Pitt. I'm not saying Madonna is the most gorgeous thing that ever walked the face of the earth, but compared to the chick that was knocking her looks, I mean, hello. So if I'm sitting there and I'm saying, boy, that Brad Pitt, ha, 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 what a mutt face. You know, I got to expect some people are going to take some shots. That's what they were doing. And then they brought on this Lars Larson, who, as I said, I'm sure he's a very nice man, but he he's everything that's wrong with our business. Not him. But he represents everything that's wrong with our business. Everything that's wrong with our business, those guys. With their dull Tea Party pitch, with the slow destruction of the actual live radio broadcast as we've known it, with the turning over of what could have been a fantastically creative format talk radio to the dull, plodding hammer of these hammerheads, man.
They're a bunch of hammerheads.
Well, the Tea Party hammerhead.
Look, I don't mind you talking disparagingly about the Tea Party, but you've got to call him a hammerhead. Mister, you're on the fighting side of me. Now,
I'm not trying to get on the fighting side of you, General. I'm just saying that it's to the point now. What I'm saying is it's to the point now. On Saturday night, I got up in front of a bunch of people, and I did a one-man show for 90 minutes. I made more money that night than radio can possibly afford to pay me or anybody. I'm telling you, I made more money that night in an hour and a half than radio will ever be able to afford to pay anybody ever again. So I'm sitting here, I'm doing my show, you know, it's either I'm going to give up on something I love very much, which is the radio industry, which will never happen. We're going to keep doing this show, but we're going to be on increasingly more and more smartphones and fewer radios, man. I mean, we are all, right now, as I tell you guys, the TuneIn app is a great way to listen to the show live. That means all you need is your phone, not a radio. See, all you need is a TuneIn app on your phone, not a radio. You can hear the show. So what's that got to do with a radio station? Well, and the way these stations act, you'd swear to God, man, that you're asking for entrance into the Taj Mahal or something. Like, this is the most sacred honor that could possibly be bestowed upon you to have your show on some of these stations. And, well, we'll wait and see. Well, it's well past that now, man. You know, and to do what we did on Saturday night and to play in front of a lot of people that enjoyed what we were doing and to actually bring the art of this show to a live audience and to sit down and do a radio show in the midst of what talk radio has become, which is a decrepit house of horrors filled with nothing but these meatheads that are talking all this anti-Obama stuff. And all of that's going away. Rush Limbaugh, God bless you, Rush. I love you. He just got bounced off the biggest talk station in L.A., and now he's over on a small station. And for any liberal that thinks that's great, I got news for you. Your version of talk radio, Air America and all that kind of, that stuff is garbage, too. Nobody wants it anymore.
You're saying to me and to others that the liberal hosts that we love, they're also going away.
Yes. Yes. Because we've had it with that stuff. Liberal or conservative. It's the only way they're going to save our format, the radio format, is to get rid of that. Now, you know, we can get Don Berman in here to talk about it later on. I don't really want to. I have to get on with the show here. We do have, although it was because of listening to a talk show this afternoon on the radio, I got Jay Santos on the line from the Citizens Auxiliary Police to find out more about this situation of copper being stolen in a small Southern California community called Santee. They have a mayor down there by the name of Randy Vopel, who was angry. He's blaming the copper thefts on the homeless. Jay, you and the Citizens Auxiliary Police have been down there, and you've sussed out, as they say, the situation. Can you tell me a little bit more?
Well, yeah, Phil, when we say we're sussing out a situation, we went down, we did talk with some of the principals involved, and there are copper fixtures at a park down there in Santee that the mayor and other members of the Santee City Council and the like are concerned about. And these copper fixtures have been stolen. Now, the mayor of Santee says he's had enough. More than 40-acre town center park has had these copper fixtures stolen. They've lost, I don't know, somewhere around the neighborhood of $100 worth of copper, and he's blaming it on the homeless going out and stealing this stuff. So what they've tried to do is put some covers on some of these copper fixtures. They're trying to keep the homeless from getting at it. Also, he wants to have the cell phone taken away from him, too.
Now, what's the cell phones being taken away from the homeless going to do?
Well, if you take away the cell phones from the homeless...
And by the way, these cell phones that the homeless have, this is a program that was instigated by Ronald Reagan, and it was passed on to succeeding administrations and funded under succeeding administrations, including both Bushes and Clinton, and now Obama, who's expanded it to cell phones.
Right. Well, that's the problem right there, and I think that's the problem what Mayor Vopel probably has a problem with. I mean, telephones are great, but now why the cell phone? You know?
Because the whole idea was to give telephone access to folks that didn't have it.
Yeah, but they didn't say nothing about cell phones.
They didn't know anything about cell phones. What do you mean they didn't say anything about cell phones? They didn't know anything about the cell phone technology to the extent that we have it now, but the idea was to give folks the telephonic contact that they needed for job hunting.
Well, I mean, so that means they get to call each other up and go and steal copper?
Well, wait, hold on for a minute. How does this guy, Vopel, know that homeless guys are contacting each other on the phone?
He got an email. And
he got an email?
Well, he did get an email from a guy who said, yeah, that's how we did it. We had cutters, we had lookouts, and use on a cell phone. So I said to the mayor, I said, look, you know, let me take this. Let me run with it. I'll go down. I'll see if, we'll have some of our guys will stake it out and take a look at the...
Did you talk to the mayor?
No, I didn't talk to the mayor, but in my mind I did, you know, and I was talking to myself, planning on whether or not I would be talking. I didn't know if I was going to talk to him. I was hoping I'd talk to him. We put a call in, and I practiced talking to him. You know?
Yeah.
By the way, Jay, it was great to see you in the show last night as you showed everybody how you did fake radio calls.
Well, that was very, very unfair of you, Phil. You know?
What was unfair of me? What are you talking about?
Well, you had me up there showing everybody about a fake radio call.
Look, you're the guy that said you do fake radio calls so that it puts people at ease.
Right, but I want to go up there and show everybody how to do it.
I thought you did it very well.
What do you mean by fake radio calls?
We do fake radio calls. And Phil said, well, let's do some fake radio calls, you know, to show the people.
But what do you mean fake radio calls? To ease people's mind. I don't understand.
Do one.
I don't want to do one now.
Okay, Jay, I don't understand what they're saying.
Right.
Do a fake radio call.
Oh, baby. Subcommander Gleason, I want you to catch the door and come in. All right, we would do this. If I'm standing there talking, and then I'll go, prime, prime, 2023. Okay?
Well, I don't understand. What did he do?
He just did a fake radio call.
I don't understand.
General, are you that disconnected from the current life?
I don't understand. Did you just go with your voice?
Yes, I'm doing a fake radio call so that if I get called out to a home, the people hear me do it and they feel better about it.
They feel better. What are you, all of a sudden Ron Paul? I was listening to a Ron Paul speech, goes, but Hillary Clinton and blah, blah, blah. Don't mumble your way through things and sound like you got a mouthful of mash. You sound like a mumbling, stuttering fool. Now, do this again.
Do what again?
Do the fake radio call again before I reach over there and strangle you with one hand around your neck and the other hand holding onto this Coca-Cola. You want that? You want people to know that?
No. Well, look, General.
Just do the fake radio. Don't threaten, General. Do the fake radio call.
All right, it goes like this. If I'm out and I'm talking to you, General, let's see your house got burglarized or something like that.
It got burglarized.
Yeah, burglarized. All right, General, hold on for a minute. Let me just call it in. Roger, right up, pardon me. I got a 15.
All right, now what did you just do there?
I made a fake radio call.
Right, but what did you say?
Well, he's not going to remember, General.
Oh, no, I remember. I mean, I do remember.
Okay, what did you say?
I said, Panda. Well, let me do another one because I forget now.
I do remember you saying Panda, yes.
Well, what is Panda? Does that mean anything?
No, it doesn't mean a thing.
General, it doesn't mean nothing. He's just doing it to make it sound good.
Let me do another one. So, General, you had your home stolen and everything.
Well, I didn't have my home stolen, but I had items taken from inside of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You had items taken from inside of it. All right, let me get on the radio here. Roger, I got a front of pain, 61.
All right, what did you say?
I said, Roger, I got a front of pain, 61.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything.
You know, somebody better start answering me some questions straight or I'm going to get pissed off, okay?
General, it doesn't mean anything, dear. When he said 21 on the Frumentine, I've got a 16. Is that what you said, Jay?
No. Let me do it again. No, I did not say that. I did not say that.
Well, what difference does it make if it doesn't mean anything?
Well, I won't get it right. The general want to know. Don't you, General?
Would you stop with the rant, with the Ron Paul mumble? The general, I don't understand what you're saying.
Hold on, wait a minute. If I'm going to do a fake radio call, you want to know it, right?
If you're going to do, yes, I want to know what you're saying.
All right. So, General, I'm going to call it in. I'm at your house, okay?
Yes, you're at my house and something's been burglarized.
Right. All right, General, I'll be right back. I got to go over. Front frame, sure be. Now, I wouldn't really, that was bad. I wouldn't do that kind of a call. That didn't sound realistic at all. I want it to sound realistic.
Well, but I heard what you said. You said Frumfen 5, Sorrentine.
No, I said Frumfen 5, Sorrentine.
Are you guys serious about this?
Phil, would you just shut up for a 5-second period so I can talk to this guy? Do it good, and I want to know what you said.
General, don't get pushy.
I'll get pushy. People around here are speaking some kind of a hieroglyphic, and I want to know what the hell's going on.
All right, well, let's hold on, because I got to take a break now.
Oh, damn it.
Take it easy, General. I'll tell you what's going on.
Hold on. I got to take a break. Just, you know, let the line out on your jib there, General, huh? Let the line out on that Genoa sail, man. And head before the wind, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, give it me. That's all Navy talk. Woo! What a moron.
Well, that's Navy talk.
Sorry, he's a general, yeah.
Yeah, he's a general.
All right, we'll be back here. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, online at philhendryshow.com, you can get the live show tonight, and you can also hear us on TuneIn. We'll be right back.
That's interesting.
Yes, it's the electric prunes, General. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Our thanks again to the folks at Sketchfest for a very, very fun Sunday night indeed, and a great time in the great city of San Francisco. It's a great town. We went up to the wharf and saw the sea lions and all did that jazz, man, because I'm not really all that up on, I don't dig going to Fisherman's Wharf, not because I don't like it or I don't like people. I've just been there and I've done that, you know.
Well, Fisherman's Wharf, the thing that people, you know, it's all very nice, but it's all very, there's no wharf there. It's all tourist shops and things like that.
Don't they have no, like, ships and everything?
Yeah, they got ships, you know, but...
Well, you said they had a big cruise ship there.
Yeah, they did. They had a huge cruise ship. I'd never seen a cruise ship in San Francisco.
You've never seen a cruise ship? You've got to be, are you out of your mind or something? The ships will, with the people that are on them? You mean a ship that has people?
Yes, a ship that has people. I'd never seen one there.
Well, that's what's supposed to come in, right?
Well, I mean, it's been a long time, man, since we've had ocean liners, you know, where people travel between countries. And this was, I was told, a ship all the way in from Australia, you know.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, and it was huge. It was the biggest ship I've ever seen. Easily the biggest passenger ship I've ever seen. And the guy told me, it was a cab driver, he said he turned around and with that very pleasant manner that a great many of our cab drivers who are newly arrived, say, from the African or sub-Asian continent, very pleasant young man, he turned around, he said,
4,000 people, sir. Lots of people.
I said, yeah, that's... It's a hell of a lot.
And where are you going tomorrow, sir?
I'm going to Los Angeles.
Ah, 101 South.
I said, yes, I know the 101 South.
What time are you leaving?
I said, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 101 South.
You know, I got that. It's very nice, you know.
Yeah, try and be helpful and everything.
Very helpful guy. Very nice guy. But he was amazed, and I was amazed, to see this ship parked there at the thing. So, anyway, had a great time. Appreciate everybody who was, who, as I said, came out and watched the show. On the line with us is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. All right, in Santee, California, copper is being stolen from some public kinds of utility fixtures and so on and so forth. Publicly held, publicly owned copper. Now, Jay, you have been working with the concerned people down there. You're not working with the city, though, are you?
No, we're not actually working with the city because Santee, they do have San Diego County Sheriff, and I think you know by now, Phil, that Jay Santos, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we get an awful lot of people are very, very much wary of us because we get done, okay? We get done, and in order for me to get it done, I've got to sort of go around some of these people who stand in my way. Now, a lot of people who work in a police department, they're very steeped in tradition, steeped in all red tape. And I don't play that. And so, you know, I got to get around them because I don't play it, you know.
Yes, you don't play it. I heard you the first time, Jay, but not working with the police is quite dangerous, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not dangerous. I'm not trying. All I'm saying is I will go to the police department. I'll say to them, okay, Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. A lot of times they've heard of us. And they'll say, what can we do for you? I said, nothing. I'd really appreciate it if you just stay out of my way. And we're going to have a really great relationship if you stay out of my way.
What do they say to that?
They will say, okay, got it. Message delivered. Thank you very much.
I don't believe you.
I beg your pardon?
Jay, these are professional police officers. You're saying they're going to sit there and stare at you and say, well, we're backing off.
I don't believe it either, Jay.
Okay, so is that a direct challenge to me?
Well, I just don't believe that you, with your pith helmet, walk in, you walk into a police department. I don't believe it.
Hey, see, when your voice cracks like that, you lose all credibility, you know?
Credibility? Do you need water?
Yes. Hold on for a minute. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to... Give me some water, will you?
Sorry.
That'll do it. I said... That no police officer is going to watch you walk in your pith helmet. That'll do it. No police officer will walk into a...
No, what he's saying is no police officer is going to watch you walk in your pith helmet and your wingtips and go, oh, well, Jay's in town.
Oh, all right. So, in other words, you're another one of these people. You know, I told you about this, Margaret and Phil and General Shaw. You all know... You're one of these people like to stand there and go, you look like a real fairy in your fairy wingtip and your fairy little hat. I get that all the time from people.
I know you get that from people, and it's a kind of an unusual outfit. But none of us, it isn't so much you're wearing a pith helmet and wearing wingtips. It's the fact that you're going to walk into a police department and you're going to say to these cops, these guys that deal with this stuff every day, hey, back off, cop, because I know what I'm doing, standing there wearing wingtips and a pith helmet.
What about the wingtips and pith helmet? The cop's going to stand there with a big gut hanging over. He's got what we call, you know, he's got the donut gut, and he's got his little hat. What makes him look so good?
Well, it isn't so much that he looks good. It's that the guy's official. So let's just forget about that for the time being and talk about this copper. What are you guys planning on doing?
What we are going to do, Phil, is observe. I don't think it takes a brain surgeon to say, hey, guess what? I'm going to stake out these areas where all this copper has been missing. We're going to see who's stealing this copper. And then we're going to see, are they indeed using these cell phones? I think the mayor down there got a good point, you know. These Obama phones...
Wait. This Obama phone thing, man, this started with Ronald Reagan.
I understand that, but Obama's the one who gave him cell phones.
So? Everybody's using cell phones now. You know.
And these guys are using cell phones so they can rip off copper? Let me tell you what, Phil.
I'm going to tell you guys a story about copper. I don't know how much time they got. When I was in construction work, and if the mayor, if you see the mayor, tell him this, okay?
All right.
When I was in construction work as a 19-year-old kid, we stole copper. I was gainfully employed. Not only did we steal copper, but all the other guys that worked the job site stole copper. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, as well as 1 a.m. on the East Coast. We're also, of course, available live streaming on our website. So if you're not a Backstage Pass member, you can still get the show live and on our website at philhenryshow.com. We stream it for free every night. And we also are on TuneIn. And check out the Phil Henry channel at TuneIn. If I'm a little discombobulated tonight...
You're also in a little bit of a mood, Phil, and...
Yeah.
Well, if I'm in a little bit of a mood, I'm tired because we were driving all afternoon. You know, when all you're doing is powering yourself with car. And the other thing about driving long distances, I'm going to have to just say this. I believe I'm a courteous driver. I'm not a discourteous driver, so I'm not a tailgating kind of a guy. But I do make my presence known there in the fast lane, okay?
Oh, you're okay. Now you're one of those guys... And I know that you've talked on this on the program before. You come right up on the rear end of someone, and you got the big headlights. Is that what you do?
No, I do not. I do not do the headlights. I don't do anything that is going to be a safety issue. But I do make my presence known there. If someone's in the fast lane, and they're going along and singing a song, and there's the law says... In the state of California, it's probably the same in other states, if there are five or more vehicles behind you, you are to move over to the right-hand side and allow faster traffic to pass. Now, I understand that it's a big power play. I understand that people don't want to move over. I realize it's an ego trip for a lot of people, and they feel demeaned, and they feel, you know, it. Believe it or not, we are adults, but we act like children. And I wonder how we would feel if we were... If all of this childish behavior was exposed to our kids, we said, you know what your dad and your mom did today? They stayed there in that fast lane because they didn't mind anybody going faster than them. And they were going to make sure that nobody, you know, got around them. The kids would be just ashamed of us, you know. Being an adult that the kids would not be ashamed of.
Yeah, you think you're... Yeah, right.
Well, Phil, that's very unfair.
No, I don't think so. I'm half kidding, but I do think I'm an adult that a kid would not be ashamed of.
Why do you say that? Why? Because you'd go ahead and move over for some guy that wants to ram it right up the...
No, because, yes, I would move over. Here's the first thing. That left lane, that fast lane is not a cruising lane. So when you use that lane, you're using it to get around people. Understand?
Phil, please don't say, do you understand to me, General Galen Shaw...
Do you get it, General? May I be clear, General?
There are a few things I'll have questions on, but go ahead.
All right.
What about Jay?
Oh, get Jay on the line here because we are talking about the theft of copper, and then we are going to have a session of As You Like to Hear Them with Randy Vopel, the mayor of Santee. We haven't had one of these sessions in a long time. So that'll be exciting, Jay, to have on the mayor.
Well, you know, know, it'd be exciting for me. I've not talked to Mayor Randy Vopel, but I hope that you are respectful of Mayor, because I do feel that he has an issue with homeless people, and I'm just trying to see. And I also, I don't know whether you already want to take shots at the mayor.
I don't want to take any shots at the mayor. If you don't think I should do it, I won't do it. I got a little perturbed when I heard him saying that the whole reason why he's losing his copper is homeless people. And why is that? Because they have cell phones that they call them Obama phones, and nobody seems to realize that the telephone privileges, if you will, or the access to phones that the homeless have was initiated under President Reagan. I mean, how dumb can you be, you know?
So you're saying that the mayor of Santee is dumb?
Well, I mean, the first person to actually say that was Barry Louise today when she said, wow, I could be mayor of a California city, too. Look how dumb he is. So,
I'd really like to talk further with her about some of the programs and initiations and different things are being done to help the mayors of California and other areas be more, you know, represent themselves better and not look completely embarrassing like what apparently just happened. Yeah.
Well, I think it's going to take a lot. Look, I don't really know where this conversation is going, but I do want to know one thing. The mayor says the homeless are doing this, and they're stealing his copper. I heard him say he was a Vietnam veteran, two tours in Vietnam, and he calls the homeless the Viet Cong. Your comment?
I don't know.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. That's what he called them, the Viet Cong.
Well, Mayor Vopel, this is General Shaw. I don't know what branch of the service you are in, but you've got to be some kind of real ass to say something like that.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he did say that, perhaps, but I don't know. He was not being humorous. And again, Phil, I think your admission that when you were some punk kid, you're out stealing copper is far more grievous than anything he's talking about. So I got to tell you, Phil, it's six one, half dozen the other.
No. When I was a 19-year-old punk kid, what, bud?
Well, you said 19 punk.
Yeah.
What about it?
That's a new kind of roulette they're playing.
Yeah.
A new kind of roulette they're playing. Okay, so what do I do? Just put a bet down on 19 punk?
Yeah, you want me to take it off?
Yeah, take it off. I wasn't playing any roulette. Where is this?
It's online.
19 punk is an online roulette game.
19 punk, and what's the other one that you could bet?
Red and black, but there's 19 punk.
Phil, can I continue, or you want to fool around with him?
I'm not fooling around with anybody, Jay. I'm
19 punk, so you're playing roulette while Mr. Henry's trying to do a show.
No, but I wasn't doing it. I mean, Robert was looking at it.
Give me those. I'm going to take those laptops, and I'm going to take those iPads, and I'm going to take those tablets, and I'm going to throw them in the garbage. Do you understand? If you guys are doing anything other than helping to get information for this show, roulette, 19 punk. All right, so that's that, man. And yeah, and I didn't mean to be a little turd, but that's what I was. I was out stealing stuff. So if that's what if the mayor's worried about people stealing his copper, man, there's a whole lot of people out there stealing stuff other than just the... just the homeless.
I just don't think it's a good idea, Phil, for you to, if I was you, I wouldn't do what you're doing, which is to pull a mirror on the air, and that's the way you want to hear it.
No, that as you like to hear them.
All right, whatever you call it, make him look bad. Because I don't think he's even a story. I think it's just a copper.
Well,
I agree, Phil. I agree. If you want, you can get some other individual who might be a bit more prominent in the theft of copper.
Well, nobody's talking about thieving copper necessarily. It's blaming these crimes on these homeless guys when they've got phones. They call them Obama phone.
See, now you're getting political again. People are not going, Phil, to woo-woo. People are not going to forgive Obama because Phil Henry is on his high horse over this thing.
I agree, Phil. No one cares. They're going to continue to hate his guts. And they're going to call them Obama phones, and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's pretty much true, Phil. Can't nothing you can do about it. Can't nothing you can say about it. Can't nothing you can...
What do you mean, can't nothing? Can we please get it out of the holler? Is everybody okay with that?
I didn't say it.
Well...
I'm sorry, Phil. What'd I do?
Can't nothing you say about it. Can't nothing... What's that?
That's just the way we used to talk in Baltimore. If you don't want to do it...
Yeah, it's just talking like a Baltimore person.
I don't give a damn if he's talking like a Baltimore person. I don't want to hear that anymore. And I don't think people in Baltimore talk that way. All right, Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. So as I was saying, I was driving home, and I started the segment on this. I was driving home today from San Francisco, and I'm not the kind of guy. I'm not a discourteous driver. I don't believe in that. I think people that are discourteous, people that tailgate, they should only die. You want my honest opinion? They should only get into an automobile accident and die. I honestly, if you want to drive unsafely, then there's only one thing that you deserve, and that's death. That's to lose control of the car, to flip the car, to have it burst into flame. I mean, that's how you're driving, you know.
Well, you don't want to wish that on a car full of children.
Listen, I'm not wishing that on anybody. But if an irresponsible adult is driving like a jackball with children in the car, tailgating, going too fast, weaving in and out of traffic like I saw this one jackass doing today, then the logical result, the logical end of that kind of driving is a car losing control, flipping over several times and bursting into flames. Now, you saw that that video clip that I posted.
Man, that was bad, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, that was a very, very traumatic video. Did you see it, Margaret?
No, I did not.
General?
That was the one on ice.
Yes, there was a video clip we posted of a car that skidded out of control on ice. The guy was trying to get around somebody, so he accelerated. He's on ice anyway. He accelerates. He loses control. The car begins to fishtail, goes over into the oncoming lane, and he's hit by a semi. And you have never seen an automobile come apart and in so many pieces so quickly, knowing that what you're watching essentially is whoever's driving that car, he's dying or she's dying, and whoever's with them, they're dead. Because this car came apart, I mean, before your very eyes.
Well, what do you mean came apart?
I mean it came apart. I mean the truck hit it, and it was suddenly, within a half a second, it was in about nine different pieces.
Well, I'm not familiar with that, Phil. It's Denver Citizens Auxiliary Police. Certainly do try to approximate that. I took a little cube car, and I rammed it and rammed it and rammed it into a wall, and nothing happened.
What were you doing that for?
Well, I want to see if, you know, everybody was telling me the cube car, Jay, is actually a very sound car, and the engineering on it, like a Mini Cooper, is very good. And I said, well, I will not believe that. I will not have my wife, and I'm not going to have no kid of mine, sit inside a little tiny cube of a car with four wheels. It looks like a little tiny midget car, and I know you don't like that word.
It's just a little car.
It's a little car, and so I rammed it over and over into this wall at Mike's Garage, you know, over on Live Oak.
Yeah.
And I kept ramming it in and ramming it in.
And what happened?
Well, nothing happened. The car is fine. I sustained some whiplash. I also got a sprained sacroiliac. I had to go in a doctor on.
You know something? I can't understand this guy. If you got to slow down, Mr. Santos.
I said I got a sprained sacroiliac that I had to go see the doctor on.
Then you can talk that way because this... You're really... It's beginning to wear very thin.
I want to just understand something. You ran it into the wall over and over.
Yeah, I took this little tiny cube car, ram it in. Okay?
That's what she said.
We're going to take a break.
What?
Just don't go anywhere, bud. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have more... what the hell is that, man?
I don't know, but it sounded... It was all wrong.
We'll take a break and be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And tune in. Bud, don't go anywhere.
That's what she said.
Be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and tune in. All right, those three spots where you can get our show each and every night, Monday through Friday. Thanks to everybody at Sketchfest in San Francisco. Had a wonderful time, and we'll be back. And we're going to commence our one-man show using that as the launch point. And we'll let you know about future shows indeed. Phil Henry Show, Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, talking about stolen copper. And I'm also talking here about driving long distances. And let's just get back to the copper thing for a moment, Jay. As I said, I, as a young man working in construction, stole copper all the time. So how is it that all of a sudden the homeless are doing this?
Well, you know, first of all, the homeless, this guy down there in this town, this mayor, is a Vietnam veteran.
You've already said that. I don't know what that's got to. I'm a Vietnam veteran too, and I don't know what that has to do with the price of tea in China. That he's a Vietnam veteran.
He said the homeless are like Viet Cong.
Is this guy for real? Is he a joke or is he a real mayor?
He's a real mayor. He's the mayor of the town. He's got a jacket that says mayor.
I saw that. Is this cat like an onion mayor? You know?
I mean, onion mayor.
What does that mean?
Like he's some kind of a joke mayor.
A joke mayor?
Well, I mean, the guy's walking around with a jacket that says mayor on it. It sounds to me like the guy's... Is he really the mayor?
Yeah, he's really, as far as I know, he's really a mayor. And he said that the homeless... With the phones, yeah, I don't know.
It sounds to me like he's another weird-ass bucking to be governor of the state of California. That's what it sounds like to me. We've had more of the weirdest guys running for governor in this state. All right, so as I was saying, you know, I was ripping off Copper. Has he even considered the possibilities of somebody out there, somebody with the tools and someone with the time and the opportunity to go out and steal a copper? And maybe it's some guy who wants to put it on the homeless.
Well, I mean... yeah, I think he knows his town. He got an email.
I know he got an email. Is this the email that is the basis of this clown thinking that this stuff is being ripped off because he got an email?
I believe, Phil, that the man knows his town. He knows the people in it. He knows how things go. I would not be willing to doubt what he's saying.
And what do the cops say?
I don't think, you got a mayor that's a two-time veteran, he went to Vietnam two times, and I don't know, he went to fight two times, what I mean, he didn't just go there as a tourist.
Two tours.
When you say tour, what do you mean?
I mean, he went over to Vietnam as a soldier.
Right. He probably knows, I think, about, when you talk about the interdiction, you're talking about the interdiction of... Viet Cong, or not Cong, but Viet Cong, and criminals. And in his town, because he's a two-tour Vietnam veteran, and he has fought the Cong...
They're not the Cong, it's the Viet Cong. You know something, Santos? You're beginning to wear on my nerves.
General, I'm just doing my job, you do yours, okay?
You're beginning to wear on my nerves.
All right, you do my job, I'll do yours, okay?
You do my job, you mean you do your job?
I'll do my job, all right?
That's what I said. I misspoke.
Yeah, you said you'll do my job, I'll do... No, I don't want to do your job. I don't think you have a job. You're weighing on my nerves. You're wearing on my nerves.
Well, I'm weighing on your conscience is what I'm doing.
All right, gentlemen, that's been just... It's just a fantastic exchange you're having here. Everybody's really following it very, very well. I think the Cong thing, it's Viet Cong, Jay.
I'm sorry, Phil, I'm not familiar with it. I was not even a little... When I was born, when Vietnam was going on. But I was not big enough to get the gist of it. When I finally did get big enough, there was no war left.
That doesn't make any difference. There's a history lesson in school, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of history lessons. Vietnam War is just one part, General, of the great expanse of American history. We had Lincoln, he got assassinated, World War II, World War I, World War, every other world war. And when we finally got to the Viet Cong, as you call them, there was some misunderstanding on some lessons, so...
I don't believe that at all. I think you just weren't paying attention.
Well, I came on your program to tell you how it is, and you guys are you got me in the town square with my pants pulled down. Yeah,
I'm sorry to have to do that to you, Jay, but the fact of the matter is, you're talking a lot of crap here, and I don't believe that your teachers were not up to snuff and didn't teach you about the Vietnam War and the Viet Cong, not the Viet Cong.
All right, I misspoke. I apologize.
All right. Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We'll take a phone call here. Roy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Jay, this is Roy Biskey. You and I spoke. You may recall that I had talked to you about one of your efforts here in San Diego, where you were going door to door, to make sure that there weren't injured elderly people in the homes. Do you recall that?
I do, sir. Yes, I do. What, were you one of them?
I was in the shower in one of the houses that you came into, And apparently you thought that I was sexually assaulting the old lady in the house because I had just gotten out of the shower. My mother had just gotten into the shower. I was naked, and I was promptly beaten by members of your force.
Oh, boy.
And I had filed the lawsuit. You remember that?
I do remember, Mr. Biskey. Yes, I do. Yes, I did. And I did apologize.
Well, as you know, that wasn't good enough because I was beaten rather thoroughly and very badly.
Well, I apologized, and I asked you at the time, consider what it was that I was seeing. You're nude. There's an old lady that's nude. And I've got to assume that you're there sexually assaulting her.
I wasn't in the same room with her. I was in my own bedroom putting on a pair of slacks for work. You walk by the bathroom. You push the door open. You see my mother in there naked taking a shower. You see me putting on the slacks
and with no underwear.
You know, that's none of your business if I don't wear underwear.
That's Phil and General Shaw and Ms. Gray and Bud and Robert and anybody else is there. That's why I look weird. A guy's pulling off a pair of Perriel slack with no underwear. I'm thinking he's very quickly, very rapidly trying to put himself in a pair of pants.
All right, you walked into this guy's house, which you've done before on many occasions in other people's homes, made an assumption and beat this guy up. He ought to sue you. He ought to sue you so bad that you lose your home. You lose everything.
Well, I don't think so. It's not going to happen. We are able to, you know, Mr. Biskey, I did make an offer.
Yeah, you did make an offer. You offered to settle for the price, what you thought was the price of my home, $26,000. My home hasn't been worth $26,000 since 1971 when we bought it. So you see, you got everything wrong, didn't you?
Well, you're more than welcome to sue, and we're more than welcome to protect ourselves in a open court of law, which we do welcome. But again, you not wearing no underwear and slipping on those slacks, it makes it look, it's very difficult for you, and it's not very hygienic.
All right, I got to hold on, Jay, and I'm sorry about that, Mr. Biskey. We're going to be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, coming back here again with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back. Just a comment here from some dumbass on, and believe me when I tell you, there's a lot of them on Facebook. What's this guy's name? Justin Ott?
Yeah, just the guy that said about Pirate Bay.
Oh, yeah, he's some stupid ass that was concerned about my comments about Pirate Bay. All I said about Pirate Bay was, Justin, was that they take it up the ass from the big companies like Warner Brothers and Sony, which they do, and they steal from small artists, which they do. Now, a moron like you, Justin, you're not going to get that. He says, I'm concerned with your concept of Pirate Bay. That's exactly what they do. If they make things available to you, that's good for you, man. But, you know, once you start earning a living, Justin, and people start stealing from you, you then come back and tell me how you feel about it, okay? Until then, while you're still living with Mom, I don't know what to tell you. Pirate Bay steals from small artists. They steal from people that don't have the money to defend themselves, and they take it in the rear end from Warner Brothers, Sony, and the big Hollywood companies, and they pay big fines, and they go to prison, and everybody thinks they're big heroes, but what they don't understand is they are stealing from smaller artists. Now, they may make available all kinds of software and all kinds of other things that you like to use, but the fact is, they're thieves, and you, Justin, if you created anything that anybody wanted, they'd steal from you. Unfortunately, you don't. You're just doing whatever it is. I don't even know what you're doing. There's a picture of you here with, is that a boyfriend or?
Well, Phil, don't, that's a girl.
Oh, he looks like a real ass. Yeah, you, dude, you know, you and the chick you're with, I can see her in 10 years, man, as she's coming back from the restaurant and you're still getting out of bed at 2 o'clock asking her where the orange juice is. That's going to be great, man. She's going to think she's... I bet you she thinks she's with a winner right now. All right.
Bill, you're going to get people mad at you.
I don't... Ask me, like, that's something new? Come on. All right, Jay, thank you very much, but we had to get rid of Jay because it was getting to be a little tiring. All right. Welcome back to the program. Now, what I was saying was... as I was traveling down the, you know, down the length of the state today from San Francisco, getting back here for the show, like I said, I'm a courteous driver, okay? I'm not a guy that is going to tailgate. I'm not a guy that is going to do any of these other unsafe things. I don't, you know, get into road rage situations. Nonetheless, you know, I do believe that if you're in the far left-hand lane and you're blocking traffic, you need to get the hell out of there.
Well, but do you tailgate people?
No, I don't. What do you call tailgating? I stay within the recommended car lengths behind. If I'm doing 70, I'm seven car lengths behind the car in front of me. I don't get right up behind them. Now, if some guy cuts in front of me and decides to tailgate that person, and there's a lot of people going to do that, nothing I can do about it. But I do remain in that fast lane until there's a way to get around him, and that's what they want. Any jackass that's in the fast lane and he's purposely slowed down to 55 and he thinks he's legally entitled, which he isn't, and stays there, that ass is you know, breaking the law. But, you know, there's no cop is going to I haven't seen a cop ticket anybody for that. Ever personally, I mean, if a cop does, it's I don't know it. But today, you know, there I was, and there's all manner of people that just insist on sitting there at 50, man. And as I was, you know, coming back today, we were in like a almost like a conga line. There must have been 20 cars behind this one ass in his little whatever it was he was in, and it's generally somebody in a small car. I swear to God. And he was in some car, some small piece of rolling crap, and there he was, just parked in the fast lane. So all of the jockeying began, you know. That's when people begin to do that leapfrog thing.
Oh, they're trying to get out from behind the person in front and get in front of him?
Yeah, it's about the most pointless thing in the world, but that's what people were doing. They're doing that kind of that little leapfrog thing to try to get to within range of the lead car and then zip around him. And sure enough, there was some kind of a contact was made, and I saw these two cars kind of fishtailing a little bit, and finally they had to pull over, and I saw some debris on the road. There was, you know, it could have been terrible, man. If you're going at that speed and you hit the rear end of another car, you could be spinning around and, you know, killing yourself.
You saw two cars hit.
Yeah, this guy, as he was coming out from behind this one car, clipped the tail end of this guy's car, and everybody's brake lights go on. You know, as soon as that happens, I saw the brake lights in front of me, bang, everyone's brake lights are going on. Everyone's backing away, because the last thing you want to do is get up close to something like that. And sure enough, I'm looking at this debris, and I see these two cars slowly kind of, not slowly, but at a much more reduced speed, going over to the side of the highway. And the dude that was causing all of this, the guy that was doing 55, the guy that was causing this 20-car backup, that jackass is just sailing right along, man. You know, I don't think he even knew what happened.
Well, this guy was behind it.
What guy?
I mean, the guy was in front of it and did see it.
Yeah, the guy that was leading, or the guy that was causing all of these panicked individuals.
Well, what are you doing? Are you trying to leapfrog it, too?
There wasn't anything I could do. I had to sit there because in the slower lane to my right was, you know, another bunch of cars. And, you know, if you really start to let your mind wander free, you start imagining that they're all, you know, conspiring to slow us by, you know, is it just seems like those dudes in the slow lane are running parallel with the other cars so that they can just keep all of us behind them. I just turn the music up at that point, man, and I wait for all of that bullcrap to finish. I'm not in that much of a hurry. But if you think about it, I'm coming down from San Francisco. I got to get on the air at 7 o'clock. And generally, we connect with our relay studio at 6 Pacific, which means I should be out of the car and sitting in the studio here at 6 o'clock Pacific. And when you're talking about, if you're going, I'm going down 101 from San Francisco to Southern California. It used to be a very long drive because there were all kinds of lights, all kinds of traffic lights, all kinds of stop signs. 101 now is a big straight shot. It's a freeway now, just about all of it. And even those sections that are not freeway but are highway, there's no stop signs. There are no lights. There's cross traffic, you know.
Oh, well, the cross traffic is what you've got to look out for, because if some farmhand or a lot of the people that are hauling the hay from one field to another, the farmhand, I was thinking of the farmhand that they're hauling.
just the farm hand. You don't know what they're hauling.
They could be hauling their ham.
If the farm hand is hauling ham, I've got to say it, don't I? I must say it.
I'll say anything. The farm hand is coming across he's coming across the road.
The farm hand is coming across the road hauling a load of ham or hay. He sees your car.
He sees Phil's car and goes, hey.
That's right. He might say that. Are you trying to confuse me now, Dickman? Because now I'm looking at you suspiciously. Before it was Phil, now it's you.
Yes, he is. The farmhand is coming across the traffic, and you could run into him. You're right, especially going at the speeds that we're going at. Yes. And anybody that is going across that traffic has got to be very, very careful.
Well, you know that James Dean, that's how James Dean met his end up there at Paso Robles. You know that, don't you?
Yeah. Was that on 101?
It was not on 101. It was on another road. But James Dean allegedly tried to get around someone that was crossing. There was a man that was at a stop sign. And he was a Cal Poly San Luis Obispo student on his way home for some holiday. And he was stopped at the stop sign, and James Dean decided to gun it and try to get across the stop before that man came across the intersection.
Was there a stop sign for Dean?
Well, how would you know that?
It would be easy to know if he had a stop sign. It was a stop sign for that guy, and James Dean was hauling ass down this highway and saw this guy stopped and he punched it so that the guy would not make him slow up. He didn't want to slow up for this guy coming through the stop sign. So he punched it to go across this guy's line of travel before he did. Now, my only question is, did James Dean run a stop sign?
I don't think he did. I think it was his right of way. Now, here's the thing about that. He does technically have the right of way. The cross traffic does, if he didn't have a stop sign.
If he didn't have the stop sign.
Yes.
If he had the stop sign, he's run the stop sign.
Well, Phil, I like to protect our artists and our stars.
Oh, don't give me that, Margaret. If this guy, what's the guy, Dean?
Yes, Dean.
Dean what? Was it, you're not talking about Dean Martin.
James Dean, the actor.
James Dean, the actor. All right. I don't know who he is.
Well, he was a big actor, okay? He made 3 movies, but they were enormous hits, and he's a legend, and that's where that's at. But anyway, if the guy was running a stop sign, yeah, he's in big trouble. But if he was going down this highway, and the man that was at the stop saw Dean's car and thought, well, hell, he's a long way away, I'll pull out into his line of travel to get across. He was going across, right?
Yes, this man was going across the highway that James Dean was traveling down.
And Dean was close enough to punch it and try to get in front of this guy. That doesn't sound like a very safe...
Now, wait a minute. You're trying to make this young student from San Luis Obispo sound like a real clown, like he's got on the clown nose, and James Dean is in supercar, and I think it's wrong to make him look like he's some kind of, he's all that, and a big hanging you-know-what.
Yeah, it's all big and hanging.
Wait a minute, man. I'm not saying that at all. Find out if there was a stop sign. That's the big news that you got to find out, see? If there was a stop sign, then yes. Then James Dean was, like, in so many different ways wrong. But if there wasn't a stop sign, if it was his right of way, and this dude kind of inched out, it sounds to me like there's a problem. All right, we're going to be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with that exciting news. The Super Bowl is coming up this week, as you know, and it's going to be Bud. It's going to be Steve Bozell as they talk about the Super Bowl. Steve brought it up at the one-man show on Saturday night, and we'll bring it up again tonight. The one-man show on Saturday night revealed from Steve Bozell that the Super Bowl will have some unfair competition, and he'll talk about it when we come back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show. There's the El Pacifico on our video cast tonight. That's a big damn wave there, man.
did they have the surfing of in San Francisco, didn't they?
They had the Mavericks final, the Mavericks Invitational is a surfing competition in San Francisco they have every year in Half Moon Bay, and I've never seen it. I've heard of it, and I've certainly seen film and video clips of it, but the winner was an Australian. And I say Australian, it's difficult not to say Australia without saying it like that.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just...
Yeah, down here, Australian, that's the way they talk.
I know how Australians talk, but Phil says he can't say Australia without saying Australia. Is that right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Especially when I'm about to say that the guy that won the competition was an Australian. But the reason why I bring this up, 30-foot waves...
Oh, go to bed.
No, I swear to God, 30-foot waves, 30!
What is the size of Simon?
San Francisco, Half Moon Bay, Northern California.
That's wrong, man. That's something wrong. How come they get to have 30-foot waves and we don't get to have that?
Because Southern California has mostly the good waves all the time. And that's the only time they have good waves up there.
I don't know that that's true.
Well, I don't know anything about this, the sport, but... That's Hawaii size, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Hawaii size. It's big ass. That's a big wave, man. 30-foot waves. And I heard this guy talking, this Australian chap. He said, when you see a wave that big, you have no choice. You have to try and catch it and stay with it for as long as you can, because it's he said, this is a surf competition, and you don't have a whole lot of chances at something that's that big, and to be able to make an impression on something that big. He said, so you have to, no matter what you do, you have to try and get on that thing and ride it, and he did, I guess, a couple times and won the competition.
And what was his name?
I have no idea.
Well, there's some kind of a sports announcer for you. You don't even...
I don't know the guy's name, sorry. Phil Hendry Show here, philhendryshow.com, and online, as I mentioned, at TuneIn. So if you are of a mind, get the TuneIn app on your smartphone, and you can listen to our radio show on TuneIn. And we are also live streaming on our website, philhendryshow.com. We also have our online store, so if you have any interest in getting some of the hard copies of our CDs, the classic best-of CDs from 97 through 2005, that's very cool. You can get those there. You can also get the best of downloads, yeah, from Bobby Dooley and from Ted Bell, along with other merchandise at philhendryshow.com. All right, so what else are we doing here, man?
Well, we've got this story here. Phil, I know that you're...
Yeah, we try to pull it together because you're in the car.
Well, I appreciate it. Like I said, I was... Ozzy Osbourne explains muddled Ringo Starr Grammy intro, I completely effed up, says Ozzy. Is that right?
Yes. You don't have your glasses, but let me read it if I can. Ozzy Osbourne, apparently he just butchered the Ringo Starr intro at the Grammys. This isn't the right story, though, bud. So.
Oh, sorry.
Ozzy Osbourne, I saw the pictures of him with his family at the Grammys. You know, Ozzy is who he is. If they're going to have Ozzy Osbourne doing intros at the Grammys... then I guess they are expecting an F-up. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
You're not going to have Ozzy Osbourne doing any intros or presentations or anything else without wanting him to butcher something beyond recognition. That's the whole reason why they do that. They've trotting this guy out as a freak act for a long time.
Well, Phil, that's pretty cruel to say about... what's the man's name again? Ozzy Osbourne?
Ozzy Osbourne, okay? And I think they do that on purpose. I'm telling you. I think they bring the guy out to do these things, hoping he'll mess things up.
How can you possibly say something like that? Ringo Starr and Ozzy Osbourne are contemporaries.
Let me tell you something about Ringo Starr. Are they really? First of all, Black Sabbath came out in the late 60s and were about as anti-Beatle a band, and I don't mean that in the antagonistic sense. I just mean musically they were as far away from the Beatles as you could possibly get and still be called a rock and roll band. That's number one. Number two, Osbourne's a lot younger than Ringo Starr. Number three, they didn't do the same kind of music at all. At number four, it's not the same genre of music. So it leads me to number four, which is they have Ozzy Osbourne wanting to give an award or bring out or present or drop on the cement or drop on his head Ringo Starr because they're waiting for Ozzy to do something colorful and messed up and embarrassing. That's why they're doing that. That's where the Grammys are at, man. That's why nobody watches. Well, does anybody watch this?
Yes, they do. People love the Grammys. And they're always waiting for that moment where something is going to happen, someone using a four-letter word.
Yeah, that's why I watch it. Wait for a guy to say F it or stick it up your F, you know.
What does stick it up your F?
No. What?
What does stick it up your F mean?
Oh, God, he doesn't even know what the F word means.
Wait a minute. What does that mean, stick it up your F?
It's the F word.
So I'm going to stick it up the F word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, there was a guy said, you know, go to F. Didn't they?
Go to F. You know something? Not that we want anybody learning how to use these words, especially our younger listeners, but what does that mean, man? Go to F, stick it up your F. F is a bad word. You're not allowed to say that. Okay?
Yeah, they say it on TV all the time.
They may say it on TV all the time. You could get... I don't know. You know?
Well, what do you mean you don't know? This is not the first time you've said that.
I don't know what the FCC's rules or laws or prescriptions are when it comes to language because they have nothing written down. The FCC does not write these things down. They don't say, you may not say this word, you may not say that word. They've never said that. And the reason why they've never said it is they don't want to get sued. Because if the FCC were ever sued for this, they'd probably lose, and that would be the end of the FCC. There is nothing written down that says you may not use the F word. Nothing. It talks about community standards. And
what?
It talks about community standards. So if I was to say the F word and nobody was upset about it, then as far as the FCC is concerned, that's fine. If I said the F word and someone got upset about it, theoretically, it should depend upon how many people did get upset. Because if the community standard is, I can use that word, then I can use that word.
That's why they're able to say it on the TV.
No, they just say it on the TV, man, because they're rock stars and they get to say that stuff. I don't get to say it because I'm not a rock star. There's a guy on the air in L.A. right now, or was. I don't think he's on anymore. He was the cat that was the drummer for the Sex Pistols, I think. His name was Steve Jones. Is that his name?
I think it was, and he used to use the F word regularly, didn't he?
I don't know if it was regularly. I think he used it a couple times. Because he's a British musician, or he was a British musician. At the time that the word was used, he probably was not as professionally up on what you're not allowed to do in American radio. He used this word and more than once, and nobody ever did a thing to him. Nobody ever, I don't even think he was called on the carpet by the station. It was just, you know, hey, too bad. I don't know if they got fined. I don't know if anything happened. It's just certain people can get away with certain things, and other people are not allowed to get away with certain things. And so, you know, he did.
So you can't say the F word, but if you're a drummer in a British punk band...
I think so. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show. You know, when you're away from the office for a while, you think that somebody's been in messing with the files, or I don't know. Do you get paranoid like that, folks? Those of you at home, do you ever get worried when you come back to the office? Wait a minute, my ashtray has moved. Or if you're smoking in your office, I guess the only way you can smoke in your own office is if you own the building. But when you're in a broadcast studio, it's slightly different because you'll walk in, everything has to be a certain way, and if it's changed, then you think someone's been in here. Now, I know no one's been in here, but stuff sounds wrong, you know.
What's wrong?
I don't know. The bumper sounded thin and tinny, and I'm not looking thin and tinny. I was looking thin.
And you said you got off your diet, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I got off the diet, sure.
Well, why'd you do that?
Why did I do that? Because I'm on the road and I'm eating all that crap on the road. In the words of Lenny Bruce, I'm eating all of that. You know, you're not eating your diet food. You know.
Well, you can still get the diet food, can't you, Phil?
You know what I got were power bars, and finally I said, forget it. You know, I got to eat because we're going to do the show, and I don't want to be hungry, and I don't want to have a bad attitude, and I don't want to have, like, so, yeah, and I had a fantastic steak, and I had, I think I had room service, but you do what you got to do, man. I mean, that's something look, I don't have a gourmet cook, okay, Margaret, like you do.
We have, look, Phil, Frank and I have someone come in once a week. We had for the longest time, you know that we had, I don't want to, can I drop some names?
Well, go ahead.
Well, we were very, very fortunate, when we had Dudzik, the German cook.
You didn't drop a name, I've never heard of him.
Who's Dudzik?
Dudzik, you don't know, they wouldn't know. We were fortunate to have, Arnois.
I don't know who it is either.
Yeah, it's...
Excuse me, General, you don't know Arnois Dudzik?
No, I don't, Margaret.
Wow.
Wait, well, what's...
Wow.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, boy. Let's see, this is going to take some time. Get Frank on the phone.
Wait, what's wrong with me never having heard of Arnois Dudzik?
You told me you needed a gourmet cook, didn't you?
No, I never said I needed a gourmet cook.
Did you have hair 2 years ago?
No, I did not.
Oh, God.
Wait a minute. You got him confused with someone else?
I might have gotten you. I know who it was. It was Ned Beatty.
Yeah.
Ned Beatty.
I was talking to Ned Beatty, and he said, do you know a good gourmet cook? I said, Arnois Dudzik. And he said, thank you. And I could have sworn you and Ned Beatty, Phil.
Well.
Oh, excuse me. Is that not good enough for your Royal Highness? Ned Beatty is one of the great actors on the American stage. One of the all-time greats.
Yeah, and the other thing.
Hey, if you bring that up, man, I'm going to punch you out. Just as Mr. Beatty said that he would, okay?
Bud was going to bring up the film Deliverance.
No. Mr. Beatty said that he didn't want to hear that.
Mr. Beatty, is it?
Margaret, first of all, I got a hard time believing you don't know the difference between me and Ned Beatty.
You guys look alike.
Okay, we look alike. Secondly, as long as you're going to bring up Mr. Beatty's name, you're not going to bring it up in the same context with that movie because everybody makes a joke out of that. And he said, and I agree with him, that if he hears anybody joke about that movie again in his presence, he'll knock him out. He doesn't care if he goes to jail. I feel that I should defend him in that area because I agree with him. So, Bud, if you bring it up, I'll knock you out. I don't care if I go to jail.
You're not going to go to jail.
You want me to knock you out?
No.
Well, you just gave me a free shot there, man. You're not going to file a complaint?
I will. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, see, Margaret will.
What?
I won't do it, but she will.
He wants me to.
Yeah.
I'm going to belt you just for fun. How about that? He said he would knock out anybody that brought that up and made a joke about it because he says that rape, and he's right, is not funny. And that's what happened in that movie to the character that he was playing. And people are making all these jokes about it. He said, fine, that's great. Go ahead, make your joke. The next guy that makes it in front of me, I'll knock his freaking teeth down his throat, probably put the guy in a coma for a while. I'll go to jail, and I don't care.
Ned Beatty said that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And I don't think that anybody has... I don't think he's gone to jail for it. And I'm going to have to conclude he hasn't gone to jail for it because nobody in his presence has made the joke. So...
Well, you're not Ned Beatty.
No, I'm not. But this one here started to make the joke. And I, as long as you're saying I look like Ned Beatty, I'll start to act like Ned Beatty. I'll belt you, Bud, and knock you into tomorrow, and I don't care if I go to jail.
I'm not going to report it to police.
But she is.
Yes. In any event, Arnois Dudzik was the chef that I thought you'd asked me about, but it wasn't you. It was Ned Beatty. That's it.
So, Phil, do you know Arnois Dudzik?
No, I don't. Do you?
I do, only from hearing his name mentioned by Margaret.
Had you heard it before today?
No, I hadn't heard it before even this moment. But I do know who he is.
You know who he is. I don't know who he is.
He's a gourmet chef.
Yeah, don't you hear too good?
Okay, so what's the point with this guy?
Well, I wanted to mention him because he's a very, very good gourmet chef. He cooks very calorie-friendly. I don't know how you say it. He cooks very good lean dinners and so forth. What you do when you go to the set, okay?
Margaret, I don't need to hear all of this, all right?
Well, he made up these little dinners and these little meals for Ned, and Ned would take them to the set.
And he's sitting there, would he eat it with a fork?
Yes, he did. Don't get smart-ass with me, bud, because I won't just threaten that. I'll follow through.
No, did he eat it with a fork?
Yes, he ate it with a fork.
Not his fingers?
No, not his fingers.
Okay, bud.
I didn't do it.
Get out of here, man.
I didn't do anything.
Get out of here.
What'd he do?
I don't know, but every time I hear that laugh, I know he's up to something, and I'm going to kick his ass. Go.
Where am I supposed to go?
Outside. Okay, so Arnwood Dudzik is a gourmet cook. I've already kicked one guy out of the studio. Is this going to be worth it?
Well, I'm just saying that he makes these little gourmet meals, and then you take them with you wherever you go. Now, I had hired him briefly for Frank, because Frank was not eating well. Do we have him on the phone yet?
Hold on. Yeah, I'm getting him right now.
Frank wasn't eating very well, and Arnwood began to make some of these very choice, very tasty meals. I thought they were delicious. Gravy dishes, you know, Phil. And some were very, very good. Stews, seafoods, and so forth that Frank would take with him wherever he went. And I thought they were delicious. And is that Frank?
Yeah, I'm on the floor right now. Frank? Yeah, it's Margaret.
Hey.
Frank, it's Margaret. How are you?
I'm better than Custer, honey. How you doing?
I'm good. Phil's here, obviously.
Hey, young man.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm better than Custer. How are you?
Good.
Frank, I'm here too, Frank.
Hey, Robert, how are you?
I won't say that to you.
What's that?
I won't say that to you.
What's that? I can't understand.
He wants to say that to you.
What do you want to say to me?
How you doing?
Okay, go ahead.
How you doing?
All right.
How come you ain't gonna say better than Custer?
What's that?
Why don't you say better than Custer, man?
He's not saying better than Custer.
Oh, I'm better than Custer.
Yeah. Why'd I gotta ask for it?
I don't know. Maybe it's racism. You think?
I didn't say better than Custer because I'd already said it twice to Margaret. I said it to him and I said it to Phil. So after I said it to him and her, I didn't think I had to say it to her.
To him?
No, I said it to him. Then I said it to you, and then I didn't say it to her.
To her, yeah, to...
No, to her.
To Robert.
Yes.
You didn't say better than Custer to me?
I did say better than Custer to you. I didn't say it to her.
To Robert.
To Robert.
To Robert.
Hip, hip, hooray.
Robert.
Yay!
Are you guys losing it or something?
Well, everybody's like, to Robert, to Robert, to Robert.
Yeah, it sounded like the three Magneteers, however that... Did you ever see... I got a great story, by the way. I was working as a... I was a page, just working very, very odd hours. I was working at the NBC, old studio NBC, as a young punk kid, and Errol Flynn comes in, and she'd just gotten done doing that Captain's Courageous, I think it was, and she says to me, can you call me, kid, when I get a phone call? I'm going to get a phone call over here from the guy over here, but you call me, and I'll give you this crisp, shiny $2 bill. It was a $2 bill. This is back in the time when they had a $2 bill.
Errol Flynn, huh?
Yeah, it was Errol Flynn, and she was at the top of her... I don't know if she was at the top of her game or not, but... she looked puffy around the eyes. Even as a 12-year-old, I could see. And she gives me this $2 bill and then wiggles her finger toward the men's room. And I'm thinking, well, maybe she needs help getting her fly down. And
don't tell me this story. Are you telling me that Errol Flynn...
No. I'm not going to say that at all. It turned out that when she wiggled her finger, I went over and she said, hey, I'm going to get a phone call at that phone over there, so you see that guy, and I said, yeah, and he said, when she tells you that I've got a phone call, she'll probably... simply say, Mr. L. Flynn has a phone call, go get her. And that's what she wanted me to do. So, excuse me. So I waited and I waited and I waited. And I had the $2 bill from Errol Flynn, and the phone call never did come in. And as it turned out, Flynn passed out in the bathroom. She was blind, stinking drunk. And they picked her up and carried her to an apartment. Some chick that she was dating, I forget what his name was, but he had an apartment above the theater. And
whoa, hold on for a minute. This is a crazy story. Was it a theater? Or was it NBC?
Oh no, it was NBC that was on Sunset and Vine back in those days. Okay. And yeah, it was NBC, and I was there, and she had come in, but I didn't know she was drunk, you know.
You're talking about Errol Flynn?
Yes. What the name of Jesus? What do you think I've been talking about, Margaret? I said Errol Flynn.
Well, I don't know, honey. You start in with this story about Errol Flynn. It's got nothing to do with anything.
Yes, it did, because I heard the three of you go for Robert. It sounded, and Phil even said it sounded like the three boot. The three monkeyteer.
The three monkeyteers.
Well, I don't know. Is that Dickman?
Yeah.
One thing about you, Dickman, you got a kick out of life. I love her. All right. So.
So Errol Flynn gave you a $2 tip if you would come and get him when the phone call came in, but the phone call never came in, and meanwhile they found him passed out drunk in the bathroom.
Yeah, they found Errol Flynn passed out drunk in the bathroom. They pick her up, they throw her into the car of this redhead that he was apparently dating, Mr. Flynn, and he had an apartment, and they took Flynn up to his apartment where this redhead lived.
Was it a guy?
Was what a guy?
The guy that Mr. Flynn...
What is wrong with you, Dickman? You are about as stupid as they get.
No, it was a chick, man.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
God almighty. Why you don't fire half your staff? You want to know why you're nuts half the time, Henry? Because you got the dumbest asses working for you that I've ever... No! I told you it was a broad, all right? And he had an apartment north of the Hollywood Hills. Up in the hills there.
Right.
And so they put Flynn in the back of his convertible that this broad owned and took her up to his apartment.
Okay, so I got it. So, and that's where Mr. Flynn wound up at this girl's apartment.
Right. But I kept the $2 tip. And later, in later years, God rest her soul, when she finally, just before she passed on, I met her, and I said, Mr. Flynn, you don't know me. I was a young page at NBC, and I tell you, she said, the $2 bill. I said, you're right. And she says to me, you know something? I have thought about it. And I said, no, better not. But that $2 was really for you to come in, pull my fly down.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
No, but it was going to be a gag. She wasn't really, she said, I wanted to pull a gag on you and stick my finger out and...
Frank, we don't need to hear any more of these stories, all right?
I'm not saying anything about that's bad of the Mr. Flynn. It was good.
Fine. But I think that when you're talking about someone that has passed on, and even if it's a joke, it doesn't come off sounding very good, okay?
Oh, okay, fine. Well, I can only hope that you people protect my image and the things that I just heard a voice in my ear. Who was that?
It was Nikki.
What did he want?
We have to take a break. We'll be right back. Sorry, Nikki, we were running a little bit late on that. We'll be right back with Frank Gray here on the world-famous Phil Hendry show and talk a little bit more with him, I think, about this Anwar Dudzik, right?
Yes, exactly, the gourmet chef.
Right back. Phil Hendry show. Phil Hendry Show, welcome back here, and Frank Gray on the line with us as we talk about Anwar Dudzik. That's my understanding, right?
Your understanding of what?
What is the understanding? Talk to me, will you, Phil? Don't talk to him. You know, Margaret, just please, for 5 seconds, just keep it quiet so I understand what she's trying to say to me. Do you mind, Margaret?
I don't mind, Frank. I don't like being talked to that way.
I'm not trying to disrespect you, honey, but I don't understand what she's trying to say to me. I come on the program to talk to Phil. She's trying to ask me a question. You're bumping in there with this Dudzik. And let me tell you about Dudzik, Phil. She's not a bad cook, but she ain't the world beater that Margaret likes to make her out to be, okay? Margaret likes to talk about this Anwar Dudzik like she's some kind of fantastic cook. Now, I remember when she got married, she married this beautiful chick, and suddenly her cooking got real sloppy because she's spending all this time with him.
Are you talking about Arnaud Dudzik?
Yeah, this cook. Now, and she used to be fantastic, but when she got married, she marries this beautiful girl and decides to stay at home with him all the time. And the cooking just fell off like it fell off a precipice. It went from outstanding. It went from just five spoon all the way up, and it went right down into almost inedible, almost as if you were eating, I'm going to say it.
Now watch it, Frank.
I'm going to say it, almost as if you were eating it fecal matter.
Holy God.
That's how bad it got.
Frank, that is unfair, untrue, and I think it's because Arnaud decided that he was going to work for other people besides Frank, and he went to work for Wireman, and Frank doesn't like Wireman. It was a big competition thing.
Oh, that's a load of horse dung. That's a load of horse dung, and everything that that guy cooks is a load of horse dung, okay? Everything that she cooks tastes like horse dung. What smells and sounds like a bell?
Dung.
You got it. Now, is Nikki there? I want to speak with Nikki. Is he there?
Hello, Frank.
Hey, how you doing, Nikki? I wanted to ask you, last week we were talking about your boyfriend, and I know that she does a computer deal?
Yep.
Okay. Now, where does your mother live?
She lives just outside of Binghamton, New York.
And what does he do for a living?
She works for a family restaurant.
He does, and so he works for a family restaurant. He doesn't own the family restaurant.
You got it.
Who owns the family restaurant?
A man named Jim Consul.
Is she nice to him?
Yes.
Okay, great. Is he nice to her?
Yes.
All right. Are they going to get married? I'm just kidding.
No.
Obviously not. Do you go up and see him?
Yep.
Who are you talking about, Frank?
I'm talking about Nikki going up to see his mother. You don't mind me asking this, do you, Nikki?
Not at all.
So when he goes up to see his mother, and the two of them get together, and he says, "Hey, Mom, let's go have some tea." Do you ever take your mother for tea?
I don't.
You don't? A lot of times young ladies love to take their mothers for tea. So Nikki will go up there, and he'll say, "Hey, Mom, let's do something very ladylike." And he'll say, "What?" And he'll say, "Let's go get tea." So the two of them sit down, and he will have the tea and show him how to do it, see?
Yeah, that's great. So maybe sometime, Nikki, you can do that.
What does that mean? Yeah, that's great.
Well, it sounded the way you put it. Maybe someday you'll do that, Nikki. Take your mom she'll want to have tea. What are the girl things?
Excuse me, do you mind if I do this? I wanted to ask you, Nikki, do you ever go and get your nails done with your mom?
I don't.
Oh, you don't? Do you get your nails done?
I don't.
Do you get your feet done? I don't know. What else do women do? They
get their pedicures and stuff. You don't do any of that girly stuff?
I don't.
Yeah?
Well, I'm going to have to ask you at this time, do you shave your armpit?
Okay,
I do.
That's fine. That's fine.
I remember I dated a gal in college. He never shaved his armpit. But I found it, well, no, it was disgusting. Well, Nikki, I wanted to just ask you those questions because I think I'm going to be back there in Washington, D.C., and, Margaret, with your permission, I'd like to go out with him. Nothing.
1 minute.
Nothing, no big thing. I just want to go out with him.
Go out with who?
With Nikki.
Oh, you mean...
I want to take him to dinner. You mind me if I take you to dinner, Nikki?
It's up to Margaret.
That's fine with me.
I just want to take him out and show him that I appreciate all that he's doing for you and hear more about his mother.
Okay,
what's wrong with that?
Nothing. I got to go. We have 1 minute to go, and I've just gotten the 1 minute word there from my friend there, Nikki. Thank you, Nikki, and thank you very much, Frank.
What is up with you?
Nothing. Thank you very much, Frank. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, we got 30 seconds, Nikki? Okay. This will give me an opportunity to let you guys know that on our homepage at philhenryshow.com, we have our video travel log. We've got three video clips from the trip up the coast, Atascadero, the Sea Lions, and on stage at the Eureka.
The
Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show. And my apologies, the show's been a little half-assed and sloppy tonight because...
When's it not half-assed and sloppy? I'm only kidding.
That's really funny.
You know, bud, one of these days you're going to get a letter and it'll say, please report to this recycling center and you'll be recycled. How do you feel about that, Bud Dickman?
They can't do that.
No, they can't, but we wish they could. Just push you right into that recycling machine.
Shut up. Do they really do that, Mr. Irvin?
No, they're not going to do it. All right. Welcome back to our program. Now, I was just talking to our good, close, personal friend here, Nikki. You said you were where, Nikki? You did a walk for Chow. For
yeah.
Chow dogs?
No.
They did a walk for
it's
Chow
a hunger
dog.
Walk.
Well, you said for Chow. Is that what you called it? Chow?
Yep.
Is that what they called it at the radio station, Chow?
At the radio station?
Well, did they say we're going to have a walk for Chow this weekend?
No, this was back home.
Oh, so you're using a colloquialism from Binghamton.
Yes.
That's Chow. Oh, I see.
Yeah, so that's a colloquialism that Nikki's using. And that goes back to that thing. You remember we took that test and they pinpointed you as from Binghamton, New York. They knew
yes.
right away. And Chow, I would never say Chow. I said we're walk for hunger.
Yes, I'd say a walk for hunger or a walk to feed the needy. I wouldn't say chow because it sounds like you're ringing a dinner bell and a lot of little children are crawling and limping and pushing themselves on pallet boards to the... You understand what I'm saying?
That's not a very nice way of putting it.
Well, but Nikki's going, come and get it, and she's hitting the chow bell.
It's not a chow bell, is it, Nick? No, it's not. Why am I asking her?
No, it stands for something. It's community hunger outreach.
That's
warehouse.
What it was.
Yeah.
I thought you were ringing a dinner bell and telling all the little limping, well.
All the little Tiny Tims to come and get it?
Yes.
No, I don't think that's what she was doing. Community hunger outreach. Wow. That's what it stands for. I don't know. Well, yeah. So we used to do those. We'd do these radio station walks and, I was doing those in my 20s, working for these different radio stations, and there would be these little 15-year-old girls that would follow you around because they thought it was really big time to have a disc jockey in their neighborhood. And I was just thinking that now they're all, you know, they're all in their 50s or something.
Yeah, they're all in their 50s and fat.
That's just great, bud.
Well, think about it, man. They're not little tiny girls anymore. They're big ladies.
Maybe they are big ladies. I'm not going to sit here. Yeah, they're all in their 50s and fat. But they're all moms, you know, so... They're all moms, and they're all doing their thing. That's neither here nor there. Anyway, we apologize if to the extent that we need to that the show might have been a little bit off tonight, but that's just, I was racing home here. And the whole point of me talking about the driving thing was because I was trying to make it to get here by 6 o'clock. That's why it's probably not the smartest thing in the world to leave a city hundreds of miles away to try to make it to work that night.
Well, you always said that you would take the night off if it came down to it, that you would not push it.
But I'm not going to do that. I mean, I owe the audience the show, and we're going to make it to the show. But yeah, you know, I was pushing it.
You probably an In-N-Out Burger, man, stopping at In-N-Out.
What?
Bet you talk English, man.
I'm talking, and you said you found an In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, we found In-N-Out Burger. We were really hungry, and I was driving, and there's a town in Northern California called Gilroy. It's a garlic. It's all of these little farming communities along the way. When you go through California, and especially when you're going up either the San Joaquin Valley, you're going up the 101, you're hitting a lot of, between the urban centers of San Francisco and Los Angeles, it's all farmland. That's all, you're either in ranch land or farmland. There ain't nothing else. It is not the urban corridor, for instance, that a New York, say, to Washington, D.C. might be, or any one of those trips between cities on the East Coast where everything is sort of a megalopolis, if you will. And that's a megalopolis, bud, before you flip your lid, okay, is just a constant city. It's just an enormous city larger than a metropolis.
That's called a megalopolis.
Right.
And because it sounds like a creature...
It does sound like a creature.
Because it sounds like a creature doesn't mean that it is. It's a megalopolis.
Yeah. All right.
Because it sounds like a creature.
It does.
Well, it sounds like a dinosaur or something.
Well, you know what? They've got a point. It does sound like a kind of dinosaur.
And it's not a dinosaur. It's the megalopolis is a megalopolis. Anyway, But between urban centers out west, it's nothing but prairie and farmland and ranchland, and it goes on forever, man. Then every now and again comes this little town. And one of them is, for instance, there's a town called the artichoke capital of the world, Castroville.
That's Castroville.
Yeah. And they have artichokes. Artichokes some people really like. I can take them or leave them. Why? Because there isn't a hell of a lot to an artichoke. And the very good point made to me by Barry Louise is, and you got to eat it with mayonnaise, and that's pretty vile. So.
Oh, mayonnaise is delicious with the artichoke. Also with the melted butter. It's delicious.
Yeah, but there's just not a whole lot going on with an artichoke, you know. What, bud?
Well, the name's not good either.
You talk about the name.
What about the name? Artichoke?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, your mind goes into the gutter with everything. I bet you, like, my name, Phil. Is that dirty?
Well.
So, and your own name, that sounds like butt. And let's see, Robert.
Yeah.
So you can find something crappy in everybody's name.
Well, not crappy, but, you know.
Artichoke is what it's called. Then the other thing was this town called Gilroy, man. He hit Gilroy, and they got all these garlic restaurants and garlic stands, and garlic is where it's at with Gilroy.
Well, is it the garlic capital?
No, it's not the garlic capital, but it's like garlic everywhere, man, everywhere you turn. And they got that restaurant, the Stinking Rose. You ever heard of that?
I've heard of that. Now, that's where Clint Eastwood, doesn't he own that?
I the what?
Clint Eastwood, not the what, who?
I don't know whether he owns it or not.
Well, Clint Eastwood has some interest in some restaurants up in Monterey, California, I think. One of them is there is a garlic restaurant that he owns. It's called, and it does have a name like that. All of those garlic restaurants have the same sort of name.
What is the name of this one, Phil?
Well, the one in Gilroy, and they may have one in Monterey, is called the Stinking Rose.
No, it's not that. The one that Eastwood owns is called the Stench. It's not the Stench, but it's the Stench.
The Stench in the kitchen.
It's the kitchen, the stench, the kitchen stench. Isn't it, Frank? Oh, Frank's not here. Frank, call in if you're listening. The restaurant in Monterey, I think, is the Stink from the Kitchen.
Yeah, that's it.
The Stink from the Kitchen.
I think you're right, Margaret.
Yes.
That's the name of the restaurant that Clint Eastwood owns.
Well, it's a garlic restaurant, Phil. It's a garlic restaurant. So the Stink or the Stench.
I got it right here, Ms. Gray. It's the Carose here.
The corrosive, yes, the corrosive stench from the room in the back. It's not even the kitchen.
Well.
What?
Now I'm starting to sneeze thinking about that.
Good God, cover your, oh, God.
You got that all over me, Henry.
Sorry, man, I sneezed.
God.
What is with you, Margaret?
God.
You gotta go and get a rag.
I'm not getting a rag.
I mean,
what's the name of this restaurant?
It's called a here, Robert.
Called the Corrosive Stench from a Room. Yeah, Corrosive Stench from the Small Tile Room.
The Corrosive Stench from the Small Tiled Room. You're telling me that's a restaurant?
I'm telling you that's a Clint Eastwood restaurant in Monterey.
Yeah.
That's about as unappetizing a name for a restaurant as I could possibly think of. You've got to be kidding me.
No, look, Eastwood is an artist. He's an actor. You know how these actors are. They've got weird ideas about things.
Well, I wouldn't. I mean,
Yeah, you would. If you found out a Clint Eastwood was hanging around there, I would.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the corrosive stench from the small tiled room, that basically sounds like the stink coming from the bathroom.
Well, they're not going to call it that, Phil.
Well, of course they wouldn't want to call it that, because then nobody would eat in the place.
Well, it is Clint Eastwood's restaurant.
So you're going to ask people to eat there only because Clint Eastwood owns the joint. Otherwise, they wouldn't go near it. The stink from the bathroom.
It's not called that.
No, it's called a corrosive stench from a small tile room.
Why do they call it that?
Well, I would. May I venture a guess?
Yes, go ahead, but I can tell you why.
I would venture the guess is because that. The stink never leaves, whether it's from the kitchen or the...
That's exactly right. The kitchen, the bathroom, the whole place reeks. It just reeks of it.
Hmm. Well, I like garlic, man, but I don't know if I like it that much, you know.
Well, Mr. Eastwood doesn't care, Phil.
Oh, well, I'm so grateful that he can continue to do business without Phil Henry's patronage, and I'm sure that he will. The corrosive stench from the small tiled... There's no way. I don't believe it.
Maybe you don't believe it.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Let me see that book.
Right here.
Is this a Zagat survey?
We couldn't get a Zagat.
Well, what is this thing? This looks like from The Onion or something. All right, Phil
Hog's
Henry
Breath
Show.
In.
What's that?
Hog's Breath Inn.
The Hog's Breath Inn.
No, I know the Hog's Breath Inn. That's the bar. But he also bought the place that has the stink of the onion or the garlic. Now, it wasn't Stinking Rose. Is there a Stinking Rose in Monterey, Nikki?
I didn't see one in Monterey.
No, Carmel. That's where the Hog's Breath Inn's Carmel.
Yep.
There is a Stinking Rose?
Not in Carmel.
Caramel?
In Carmel.
It's called, yes, Carmel. So that would lead me to believe, because there isn't a Stinking Rose, that Mr. Eastwood opened up the stink coming from the room. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it. That's a great name for a restaurant, the stink coming from a small tiled room in the back. Okay, we'll be back.
And look at you scratching your ass while you talk that way.
I was not scratching. I was scratching my back. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com on this Monday night. Thank God we're coming to the end of this long, long, long cattle drive, partner. PhilHenryShow.com and tune in. Those three places are the places you go to get our show. You can listen to it on the radio, listen to it live at our website, listen to it on TuneIn, but listen to it you must. With me this evening, Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman, and General Galen Shaw. I've been sort of limping into this week. I apologize. After a great weekend in the Bay Area, and really there it wasn't much other than the show that we did, you know.
Well, you're getting up early, you're going to bed late, you're getting up late, going to bed early, you know.
Yeah, and the nonstop drinking too.
What about that, Phil?
There's no nonstop drinking, man.
Well, if you're on the road, you're obviously going to be entertaining with cocktails, aren't you?
Get a load of you, man.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're going to be entertaining with a cocktail, you know.
General, you're getting very erudite. You're getting very suave the more you talk about liquor.
Yeah, smile when you say that.
See, he gets to talk dirty.
All right. No, I was not drinking nonstop. I had three stinking beer. No, wait a minute. Oh, I tell you what I had. I went over to John's Grill, which is a great place. Love it. And I said, what do you got for tequila? Oh, and by the way, William Wilder, young guy that I met at the show, William, you're a beautiful man, gave me a bottle of that 1942 Don Julio.
Oh, my God, you got another one.
I got another one. This is a 1942 Don Julio Añejo. It comes in that gorgeous box. It was a great gift. I can't thank you enough, William. But I don't think he's the same guy that gave me the tequila last Christmas. You remember it was a year ago that I held on to that bottle for a whole year.
Well, you held on to that bottle for a whole year like you're holding on to your you know what.
No, I don't know my you know what.
Don't yeah, you're holding on to it like it's gold.
The tequila.
No.
No, the other thing.
What does that mean?
Thank you, Margaret.
If you're holding...
Never mind. So I got this new bottle from William Wilder, and it is...
That's the movie director. Sorry.
I got this new bottle from William Wilder, and so now I've got one that I can enjoy, but it's the 42. Yeah, the Don Julio. So thank you very much for that, William. But I could have used it the night before because I went in, and as much as I like John's Grill, because that place has got some fantastic food, man... I said, can I get a Don Julio? And they suddenly looked at me like I just landed from Mars. And I am pretty sure I had a Don Julio in that joint the last time I was there. They said, we don't have that, sir. I said, well, do you have? And I always go to either Patron or some Cabo Wabo, some of Sammy's, you know.
Oh, Sammy Hagar's Cabo Wabo is just wonderful.
You've never even had it, have you?
No.
Well, then why did you say it's wonderful?
I'm saying it's wonderful because, yes, never mind.
So the guy says, no, sir, we don't have that. I said, have you got any of the stuff that I mentioned? He said, no, we don't. He said, however, and he came back, and we have this, and we have Herradura, and we have the 1800, and just for, because my religion does not permit me to drink Jose Cuervo.
What do you mean about your religion?
I'm kidding. I'm just, you know, it's a personal, I don't want to drink this stuff, okay? I don't like having Cuervo pushed on me. I gave them a chance. I gave them a big chance. I kept drinking their swill, and it never got any better, and I'm not drinking it anymore. And I, the other one, the Herradura, and there was a third. I said, let me try that, because I've had the other two. And I got to say, with the greatest of respect to all concerned, oh, man, it was bad.
Oh, it was.
So you didn't enjoy it?
No, I didn't. It was like, it wasn't good, man. It was not a good tequila. And I'll tell you why. It was a silver, and a silver is a young tequila, obviously, and it's going to be acidic. It's going to be a little bit... more acidic. A young tequila is going to be smoother. The older the tequila, the more flavorful it gets, and it also has more impurities. But the younger the tequila, the smoother it is, but it has fewer of those, tannins and so forth. So I'm drinking this thing, and it was like, oh, God, turpentine, man.
Well, maybe it was that moonshine.
No, it wasn't that moonshine. No, I've had that moonshine. No, it was just not good.
And you don't remember the name of that. I would like to avoid it next time I go out drinking.
You don't drink tequila.
I know, but I don't drink tequila, but I want to avoid it.
You don't drink tequila.
I know, but I want to avoid it.
What does that mean, you want to avoid it?
I don't want to drink. I don't want to be in a restaurant with it.
So you'd go to another restaurant?
Yeah.
But you don't mean that, man.
Well, wait. So you go in and you say, do you have this kind of tequila? And they say yes. You get up and leave.
Yes, exactly.
Even though you weren't intending on buying it.
Yeah.
And why would you do that?
I don't patronize places that have products that I don't want to have.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, man. It's one thing to patronize a place. It's one thing not to patronize a place. Never mind.
If you don't like the kind of product they carry because it's politically not right, like Coors Beer, for instance, a lot of the unions didn't carry it. They didn't want to. I don't know.
I don't either. All right. So, well, Bud, if you're ever in a restaurant where they carry that stuff and you get up and leave, make sure that you don't tell anybody it's there. Otherwise, people will, I don't know.
Now, that doesn't make any sense, Bud. You could go in and sit down and eat food in a restaurant, even though they carry the tequila you don't like.
Yeah, why? Why give them business?
Because it ain't like they're doing anything bad. They just have a tequila that you don't like. It would be different if they had a tequila, if they were carrying, if they didn't carry something that you wanted. Let's say you want, what do you drink?
I drink beer.
What kind?
Coors.
Oh, my God, you drink the very beer that the Teamsters.
I don't know.
Never mind, okay? So let's say you go in and you say, I'd like a Coors, please, and they don't have one.
Then I'll order like a Budweiser.
And what if they ain't got Budweiser?
Moosehead.
And what? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here, man?
You don't understand nothing, man. He doesn't drink it all.
Yeah, I drink it all.
You drink anything they have?
Yeah, except for that stuff you just mentioned.
Then you'll leave.
I'll leave.
Even though they have all the other stuff that you will drink.
Right.
Dickman, you break all records for weird. You know that? I love you, but you break all records for weird. Never mind.
You're talking about weird. Your voice is weird.
Go get him more of that cottage cheese or whatever that crap is that he eats.
Well, don't get angry, Phil. The kid, you hired him.
I don't understand why the kid, he drinks just about anything there is, but if they have...
You know, he admires you, Mr. Henry. And Bud admires you. If there's something you don't like, then he don't want to have nothing to do with it.
Well, that is a good point, Phil. The young man admires you and wants to be like you.
Okay, Bud, if you want to be like me, wherever he is, then you don't necessarily have to leave the place just because they carry a tequila that you don't like. You can stay there and drink. It's better to leave a joint if they do not carry something that you like and they're not carrying it necessitates you leaving to go find it somewhere. I've done that.
But if they didn't have the tequila you wanted?
No, I've never done that, but I've been disappointed, and I always will say, would you please carry this later, or would you get your supplier to bring it in, or I don't know.
And what about Clint Eastwood's restaurant? Would you not go there because the name is odious, or would you eat there and under protest?
I would not eat there under... I would eat there. It would not be under protest. I would probably laugh. If somebody came up to me and said, hey, Mr. Henry, what do you think of the food here? I'd say it's great. And what do you think of the name here? And if they had a straight look on their face, I'd say it's a bad name.
And if they threw you out after...
I would say, are you throwing me out because I think the name of your restaurant sucks?
And they'd say yes.
And I'd say, well, okay, then I'm never coming back.
What a baby.
Right. I don't know, you know. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Nikki McKee, our associate producer and technical director, Nikki McKee. I produced the show. Bud Dickman is our assistant producer. Margaret Gray, a writer and contributor. General Galen Shaw, cottage cheese and vanilla wafers. And Robert is related to Mavis Leonard. Our one-man show will continue. We'll let you know on future dates. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Just got a hold of me.